Hello and welcome to Growing Up B2B. I'm Ed D'Elia, president of D'Elia Associates, the place where B2B brands go to grow. For over 60 years, and now across two generations, we've been helping B2B companies achieve next-level growth through brand distinction, quality lead generation, and sales enablement. Growing Up B2B was created for family business leaders who are passionate about growth, legacy, and making a lasting impact. Whether it's a multi-generational legacy or multiple family members working together, there's something truly magical about blending business with family. And we want to celebrate that right here on Growing Up B2B. So be sure to stick around to the end of the show and find out how you can be our next guest. Okay, let's get into it. Hello and welcome to another episode of Growing Up B2B. I'm your host, Ed D'Elia. I'm the second generation president of D'Elia Associates, the place where family B2B brands go to grow. Today, I'm joined by Casey Bickhart, president and CEO of Gemco and Advanced Powder Solutions. Casey represents the fourth generation of leadership at Gemco, a company with deep roots in industrial mixing equipment, serving industries ranging from pharmaceuticals, chemicals, to nutraceuticals and advanced materials. What makes Casey's story particularly interesting is how she came up into the business. Just a year out of college, she stepped into a leadership role at Advanced Powder Solutions, following the unexpected passing of a key operator. That experience gave her a ground-level view of how customers actually use Gemco's equipment, shaping how she later led and evolved the core business. Today, Gemco and APS together form a unique model. One builds the equipment, the other operates it, creating a feedback loop that drives innovation, customer insight, and long-term growth. Casey, welcome to Growing Up B2B.
Thank you for having me.
Great to be with you today. So let's start with the foundation. You said in a prior conversation, you grew up hearing Gemco bedtime stories. So talk about that and that early exposure and what that did in terms of your mindset at a very young age.
Sure. Both of my parents had really, really strong work ethic. And we were always brought up, if you take care of Mother Gemco, Mother Gemco will take care of you. Meaning you put the business first. And that translated into bedtime stories as well. So when my father would come home, long hours, working a lot, strategizing, thinking, he was huge into computers. So when he took over the business in the 80s, it was getting into that computer boom. Mm. And he saw different, I guess, inefficiencies in the companies that could be resolved by ERP systems. And these are systems that run the day-to-day operations of the business, especially in manufacturing. And getting these computer programs online, he would sit at his Sunday morning work, right? We all have that as entrepreneurs, Sunday morning work, here we go. And he would sit down Sunday morning, I'd sit on his lap, and he'd show me our ERP system at Gemco that we still use today, very helpful. And as he would go through the different steps, I would learn a little bit about what he's doing and why that was important for the customers and what efficiencies it was saving. Now, at 6, 7, 8 years old, I didn't really understand the implications, but I knew enough to listen and absorb what I could. And that was my daddy-daughter time. And then, of course, at night, we would also get the bedtime stories like, hey, look what Gemco's doing, or where are we traveling today? Where is this blender shipping? And we'd hear different things. So it certainly set my mindset that Gemco was always going to be a focal point of my life. And it turned out to be true.
Well, gosh, even just think about the early exposure you had just to the concept of ERP and to computer utilization.
Yeah.
At that time, that was quite... Your dad was quite ahead of the curve, I would say, with engagement in ERP as well as, rapid adoption of computers in an industrial environment. I mean, that must have been, he must have been early on the curve. Yeah,
he certainly was, and he also created and worked with programmers at the time, which nowadays you say that and it's totally normal. And back then, this was a huge expense, huge investment.
Oh, yeah.
Hours upon hours. We have a proposal system, which is pretty much like a configurator. So if you were going to go and pick out a car today, they have a beautiful configurator model. Yeah. And now just think, back then he created this configurator model of our units. and how it could be used for salespeople and sales reps all over the world. So he definitely was leading a charge, and that takes a tremendous effort, and lots of diligence, and being extremely detailed, like the accuracy of the testing out every configure. I remember him sit, like I would sit with him, and he would test out every configuration. He'd be like, nope, that one doesn't work. It's supposed to look like this. Go back and tell the programmer, blah, 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 blah. And we would go through those types of things. So it was very interesting what he was doing. And then later in my journey, when I got to GEMCO and got into it, and especially into sales, oh, we are living off of his legacy for sure. And what he did and what he built, because we still use those processes today, as well as those programs. We're constantly modifying them and keeping them up to date with newer products. But that legacy truly lives on.
That's awesome. And as I look back, certainly there are things that I've changed from the way my dad did them, but there's certain systems and processes that he put in place. And every now and again, I'm like, let me see if there's a better way. And I've yet to find, crack a code to a better. I'm like, he thought that one out really well. That one's going to stick.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about, going back a bit. You kind of knew, and you were obviously exposed at a very young age to the business. So you said, hey, I might end up there. But your path suddenly accelerated quickly. That key operator in APS stepped away. So take us back to that, Casey. What do you remember about that period in your life where you were asked suddenly to kind of step in? Because I believe you were already down a path to a career with, I think, in Prudential. And then, about face, you're coming into the business. So talk about that for a moment.
Yes, absolutely. So, when I was fresh out of college, one of the things that was in my thought process was go out into the other world, not the family business world, but go out into the other world and see how they do things, see about their process, see about what it means to be in business in a different industry or a different life or a different way of being. And I went to work at Prudential Financial. I was an accountant there. Pretty much, I called myself a glorified double checker. And I'd be working. It was only 9 months out of college, and suddenly, we have GEMCO, who makes the equipment, and we have Advanced Powder Solution, who uses GEMCO equipment, who is a customer of GEMCO, uses GEMCO equipment that does toll manufacturing as well as testing for GEMCO clients. So people who don't have the men, money, or material to purchase GEMCO equipment, they would actually be able to use and just get the services on the GEMCO equipment through APS. We had a partner who was actually running the business. My father was retired, and we had a partner in APS who was running the business. And suddenly he passed of a stroke. He was a wonderful gentleman, did really, really great. And my dad, I remember getting a call from my dad saying, if you ever wanted to go into the family business, and that was going to be like 5 years out, I want to, kind of like spread my own wings for a little bit. And that was like 5 years out, and I get the call in 9 months. So it certainly was accelerated. And dad said, hey, if you were ever thinking about going into the family business, now's the time. And I was like, what? And it wasn't even GEMCO. APS was sort of this redheaded stepchild that like existed, but no one really paid too much attention to it. So coming in, we had two shifts, and I had to give back my signing bonus at Prudential Financial. I had to switch gears. I had to learn a whole new language, from accounting to the, machinery. What's machinery? So I had to learn all these things, and it was a big learning curve, but phenomenal. And I just sort of jumped right in. There's no other way to do it. You just have to jump in and get your feet wet.
Talk about that for a minute. You're coming in for the first time as a leader. Your time horizon just got shrunk by about 4.5 years. And you're walking into a team that probably at that point has more operational experience, has been on the job, has been at APS. So Talk about that for a minute. Walking in as the leader, how did you establish credibility with a team that was already veteran, had more operational experience, had been there already, and here you are coming in as the new leader of APS?
Absolutely. So I leaned heavily on my dad. I remember having, in manufacturing, something's going to go wrong every single day. And when you are fresh out of college, your mindset is that if I do this, then I get this result. And if I do this, then I get this result. And so on and so forth. And you know that you have process steps, like you have to do your homework, you have to do your studying, then you have a test, and then you get a good grade. Well, in manufacturing, it doesn't work that way. So I came in with a totally different mentality of how things should work versus what they actually are in real life. And I remember having conversations every morning with my dad. Dad, we have an issue. And he would be like, what's the issue? And by noon, it would be resolved. But as you're talking to a young adult, fresh, right? No experience, no knowledge about anything. These were issues and challenges that hit me. Right? Like I would be asked for something. I've never done that before. And it was just, okay, work through it. And I had to develop the process of what that looked like to get to the end result that we wanted. Now, the way that I did that was a lot of industrial engineering. I would do time studies. I was at the plant for 16 hours most days. I would literally come home just to sleep, take a shower, and then come right back. And while I was here, I'd be doing industrial engineering studies of how long does it take to do this, right? If you can't track a process, you can't measure it. If you can't measure it, you can't fix it. If you can't fix it, you won't optimize it. So my process brain kicked in of, okay, I want to get to the end result, but I need to know how. So as I started mapping out, okay, what was the flow of material through, right? From customer to shipping it out to the customer, customer in and customer shipping out. What were the operators great at, right? When you look at resources, I wanted to know who is really good, who's really specialized in this that we wouldn't put over here mopping the floors, right? Then I started getting into, okay, well, how long does it take to mop the floor, right? Because as you know, me coming in, not having any experience, what does everyone like to do? Oh, by the way, that task takes like 5 hours. And you're like, what? No, it doesn't. So I was down there mopping the floors. I was taking out the parts. I was washing the parts. I was putting the parts back together because I needed to see for myself that, wait a minute, guys, come on, let's all play fair in the sandbox here. We had to gain that mutual trust. And that's what ended up happening. And a funny story was, oh my gosh, I think it was about 7 years later into my tenure, and I was over on the GEMCO side, right? We call it the GEMCO side because they're in the same building, but I was on the GEMCO side. And I talked to my lead mechanic, and he goes, yeah. And I was like, I had been there for a while, and he goes, yeah, I didn't think you were gonna last 6 months. And I was like, well, thank you. I'm so happy I did, and of course he meant it as a compliment. Of course I laugh about it because it sounds so funny, but I bet you they all didn't think I was going to last, right? You get someone inexperienced, and unless you have that drive, that motivation, that stamina, this was like day in and day out. Dad, we have an issue. Here's another one. And then having to map out a process for something that was never mapped out for you. At least in college, right? They have a syllabus. And they have procedures and they have this, but I was creating all of that from scratch. So, with the help of a great team, with the help of my father, with the help of everybody else who was helping me at that time, right? It was wonderful to gain that experience from the ground level.
Well, you touched on a number of things that certainly resonated. One, it would seem that that finance accounting background served you well, because I think that was your process mind kicking in, whereas you didn't have the hands-on operational or engineering or chemistry background. You had a process background, and you brought that to bear. And I think the other thing that resonated, and it's I hear it played out in many different ways on other guests, is the work ethic and the tenacity. Not a single one hasn't put in the hours, put in the long hours, had the sleepless nights, and been there on Saturday and on Sunday, and whatever it takes mindset. And those that don't have that tenacity or work ethic are easy to spot. They're the ones that are out of business, sadly. So you brought that, and I would have to surmise that colleagues at the APS side, as you put it, saw that. And you know, 6 months, you probably worked 6 months in 3 months. So what's also interesting is APS really gave you this unique window into how end customers actually use GEMCO equipment, because that's essentially what APS was doing. So what was that exposure like in terms of how you thought of, and I don't know if it's right to call GEMCO the core business, but I'll just say the other side. So as you were kind of having that experience with APS, what were you learning and starting to see, and what changes did you start to identify that needed to surface on the core business, on the GEMCO side?
So after I was working at APS for a while, I ended up moving over to GEMCO, and I worked through, started at purchasing, which is kind of smack in the middle with then operations comes after purchasing, right? When we receive an inventory, we can actually make something with it. And I walked out into the shop every day. I would learn what they were doing. I started doing industrial studies on how long does it take, to assemble an agitator, how long does it take to machine something? And I would walk through those things. And then upstream was engineering. Now, my background is not an engineer, but as you're in business, you are a learned everything. Someday I'm a learned lawyer. Other days I'm a learned regulatory expert. Other days I'm a learned engineer. Other days I'm a learned something else. And you have to be that. It's almost like you're the jack of all trades. You gotta have your hands a little bit in everything, just so you can understand the process of what's happening in the business. And it really helped me understanding how customers viewed our machines. They would come into APS, I would give them the tour, they would view our machines, they would ask questions. I knew what they were looking for when they came to test with their products and their powders, how we were going to analyze a powder, how we were going to make it work in our machine, and what kind of output they were looking for, and what was going to help them in their downstream processes, even. So, in GEMCO, bringing that knowledge in when sitting in engineering meetings, they would be designing something for a customer who's going to purchase a machine. And I'm like, wait, why do we have that? And they go, oh, well, we've always had that. Yeah, but why? The operators just take it off and they tape it up. So I, wait a minute. Wait, that's not how they use it. They don't use it that way. So basically, we have a running joke. I said, anytime you see a rag or duct tape or anything, whole thread, string, anything like that that you wouldn't want to see on machinery, you're learning. You are learning how the operator is going to mutilate your beautiful machine, right? And they're going to go in there and they're going to find any which way to use it, either the wrong way or the right way. But GEMCO is so wonderful because we have now taken engineering to the next level of utilizing operators, excuse me, utilizing operators as true stakeholders to the process. And once we had that stakeholder awareness, we are now killing it with the machines because they're using, we are building machines how they use them. And that was a huge turning point in GEMCO history when the walls to APS, as I said, it was sort of like the redheaded stepchild. It was kind of like, it's there, it's kind of overlooked. Maybe we might use it, maybe we might not. When I moved into GEMCO, those boundaries fell apart because I had brought it along with me and said, and as I was still running it, it was an extension of me. So we had the best of both worlds. And I think that was a huge turning point for GEMCO in expanding our process expertise, not just being an equipment manufacturer or a machine designer. We now know process and how it's working and how, and that is really what elevates us in the game.
And I'm, I have a kind of a firsthand appreciation for actually having, through some clients in the cosmetics manufacturing space, seen GEMCO products in action. But
Great.
you're absolutely right about how the technology across the board has evolved. Because I remember, in my 20s, going into a cosmetic manufacturing arena for the first time and seeing the lines and and one that was rigged with like 10 hair dryers, like taped up with duct tape at the end of a line to just do a, they need, this particular product needed another shot of drying before it was packaged. And I'm looking at them like, that can't be right. But there's probably a better way. I don't know what it is, but I feel like 10 hair dryers from the store from Ulta, lined up and duct taped to do this drying effect probably is not the best way forward. But you see a lot of crazy stuff in the wilderness, if you will. But that's awesome. And I'd have to think that it evolved the way that you could sell and then position Gemco too, by having this, true broad vista of not only how we're machining these products, but machining them better because we run them too, just
Correct.
you, as well as kind of full life cycle continuity of the client's needs, whether they're ready for a machine or they're not quite ready for a machine, but they do want to start testing and start scaling. You've got the APS operation to kind of take them that first leg of the journey, if you will. Without putting words in your mouth, is that kind of the way you started to position the,
100%. Yeah, absolutely. The interchange between Gemco and APS, it's seamless now. So as a lead comes into Gemco and we say, hey, would you be interested in testing with us? And the customer's eyes light up like, you can do that? Yes, we can do that for you. They come over to APS, they're handholded by APS, they're handholded by Gemco, and it's a seamless transition for our clients. So wherever they end up, like you said, they could just say, hey, I only have four batches a year, so I don't need to invest in capital equipment right now. I just want to know either feasibility. I just have limited production. I want to do just scale up until I get my feet wet. We can do all of that. And then when they come back to Gemco, if they're ready to purchase, ready to buy, we're right there waiting for them.
That's awesome.
So, and it's something like 50% of every test that we run for a client turns into an order. And
Wow.
now, since APS has grown so much, some of those orders could be either a full-on order of production with APS or a full-on order for a machine. We're always very excited when we have that beautiful showroom to show our clients, where they come in and they see these Gemco units lined up, beautiful, beautiful units all lined up. So they can actually see the credibility that we bring to the marketplace. Not a lot of other vendors that we compete with would even have that for a client. They might have old beat up ratty old test equipment, but they're not going to have lines of production in which they can come in and see. And a customer also doesn't get that experience. If they're buying new, they don't get that experience. You can't just call up a competitor and say, I heard you were using the Gemco. Can I come over and see how you set it up so I can set it up in my plant? No one's going to do that. So where can they come to see it that they're not going to face competition right here at Gemco and APS?
I think it really pulls you out of vendor status, really. I mean, it allows you more of that productivity partner wherever, whatever their level of productivity needs to be, whether it be, a full-on machine or some scale up in between. So that's really awesome. So getting back to Gemco for a minute, and you're transitioning into becoming the leader of Gemco and eventually buying out your father. Just talk for a minute, Casey, if you would, about what was the hardest shift from being the daughter in the business to the owner of the business?
So I think there was differences of style. Sometimes I can get my father can think very big, and then sometimes I can think very detailed. So in my tenure when I was learning, right, and becoming a visionary of what we needed to be, I wasn't quite there yet. He brought a ton of that to the table, but I brought a ton of the details and the operational skill that was missing. And so we worked hand in hand, although it did get a, there was always a little friction, but here or there of how we should do something or why we should do something or things like that. And you have to understand that generations bring huge gaps in businesses of the kind of how you do business. So back, in the early 2000s, when my father was running it, everything was a handshake. Everything was a handshake before the bank crash and things like that. Everything was a handshake before 2000. Everything was a handshake. It was like, okay, what do you need? Yeah, we got a purchase order. Terms and conditions? Yeah, who read them? Yeah, no big deal. Okay. Now we are in such a litigious society that, oh my gosh, you hear I'm reading contracts all the time, and redlining and things like that. So those type of details, I think, are something that I brought to get us to the next step of where we are in this type of generational atmosphere. The detail of production and how things are moving through the shop, when, where, who, we really nailed down. And I still talk with Dad about visionary items and stuff, and what do you see about this? And we're working on new products, and I'll always run something by him and say, well, what about this new product? And he's like, well, what are you working on now? Or what's going over in APS? And so it's great to get his feedback and get his energy. He grew up in the business as well. So it's I definitely want to keep learning. There's always something I can keep learning about what to do better.
And I think that kind of leads nicely into like my next question. As a fourth generation leader, certainly you've brought a different flavor to the business in the name of operational excellence, in the name of recognizing the strategic alliance between, the two sides of the fence, if you will, and deliberately blurring the lines to be better positioned. But talk for a moment about how you kind of balance, Casey, your respect for the past and what was built, maintaining that while you do continue to push the business to improve and evolve.
So I guess the biggest thing that we worked on a lot here was culture. We get a ton of that in EO, right? A ton of that in my WPO experience, and we worked with culture, and it's really we took it to the next level where we defined our core values, and we went through the process of understanding, like, why are we doing what we're doing, and how can we do it with excellence. Right. So that stakeholder awareness is something I brought, because we needed to know for whom are we doing this and what are their expectations, right? We just don't want to move through certain things. We want to know why we are. The other thing also that changed a little bit was promotion. My father was always awesome in promotion. He even started a entire video company to literally make training tapes for GEMCO users. Again, well ahead of his time. I can't even keep up with him. I can't even keep up with him. Sometimes I say, Dad, how do you even raise the bar sometimes, And he goes, oh, but you are. So I have to say he's my biggest fan, and I'm very appreciative of that. But I think the feeling is mutual, because I look at what he did, and now I'm just doing it on a different platform, right? Now we have LinkedIn. Now we have this, right? So we're just doing things in a different platform, and not necessarily reinventing the wheel, but just up leveling ever so slightly. And as new products come out, it's the promotion of those new products that we do. So that's
Yeah,
interesting.
and probably not on tape anymore. So certainly,
No, not
time
on. Not on tape.
capsuled that nicely. Yeah, I
Yes,
remember the day
yes.
of
That's right.
videotape
That's right.
when one of my twins saw it was sitting. I think it was like in this old vintage car. It was a cassette tape,
Yes.
and they're like, "Dad, what's that?" I'm like, "That's a cassette tape." He's like, "What's it for?" I'm like, "Well, that's how we used to play music." And my son looked at me and goes, "Why?" That's a long answer to that. But so when you look at what GEMCO and APS is today, do you think that the market fully recognizes that the powerhouse of the two as one? Do you think the market understands it and fully appreciates it, or do you think you have more missionary work to do to really fully explain this unique model?
I think there's always more work. And I think it's just, the Gemco brand has been built up and we're 110 years now. So that's, I mean, that's a feat in itself. And that carries a lot, but we have really, really pushed on the promotion, and the PR and, just trade shows, getting our name out there. We want to be the brand that everybody remembers. We've outlasted our competition. The largest competitors that we had have been bought and sold. So we're very proud of standing on our own two feet, right? Still a family-owned business for four generations, and that's something to be said, considering how much mergers and acquisitions and sales of companies are so prevalent today, right? And the roll-ups. Very, very happy about that, but that we're still making it. But there's always more brand recognition to go. There's always people who need to learn about us. We always invite them in because once they see the equipment, they go, I got it, I got it. We do our own videos that we put out on our website that we send to every lead that we have. And these videos are really great in training new people on what is blending. Right. Sometimes you even have to start at that basic. What is blending? How do you know that you're blended? Right. What are the different types of blenders? So we'll walk people through different pieces of equipment that are out there and why you would want to choose a tumble. So we always think it's a lot about education, and then therefore you start to make connections. Like, oh yeah, they taught me about that. I'll go back to Gemco. So we always like to do that.
And I think you're raising an important point. Obviously, a generational transition happened four times over at Gemco internally, but externally, so it happened with the world. I'm sure a lot of the people that your dad interfaced with are no longer active and probably retired or moved on. And so not only is it a next generation for Gemco, it's a next generation for that whole fleet of future Gemco customers that need to essentially discover you for the first time, as you put it, And so I guess it continuing that missionary work is important as you continue to grow and evolve. You mentioned something else I wanted to just get a little bit more perspective on. At 110 years, possibly if not the oldest, one of the oldest standing companies in your category, why do you think some of the others maybe fell short or didn't quite make it or fell by the wayside? Where do you think they took missteps where Gemco took the right steps?
So I can tell you from all the bedtime stories that this was ingrained in me. Gemco designs and builds mixers and vacuum tumble dryers. And that's what we do. We don't build submarines. That's what we say. We don't build skyscrapers. And that's been ingrained in me. And I think when I look at how the roll-ups work, when I look at the, we get asked all the time, right? Every business owner gets asked all the time, like, are you looking to sell or I have a buyer or something? It's like, yes, thank you very much. But I think we're good because we're good at what we do. And one of the things that Gemco has always done is kept in our lane and become the expert, and have all the industry knowledge. So then that way people come to us as the authority. And
Awesome.
what we've seen our competitors do is expand their product offering too much. Too much, where they had no experience, where they had salespeople, but no salesperson with experience in any of those pieces of process equipment. So if someone wanted a tumble mixer, great. If someone wanted a ribbon mixer, great. If someone wanted a sieve, great. If someone wanted a sifter, great. If someone wanted a magnetic, fine. If they wanted this, if they wanted that, anything that they asked for, it was like, yes, we can do that. Yes, of course we can do that. And they would gather up more product lines, but in essence, they were diluting themselves. They were diluting their authority in the industry. And that's one of the things with our engineering staff. With our product expertise as well as our process expertise, we've been able to withstand that. And especially, we always like to say this, I'm probably going to screw it up, but we always like to say this, we're fourth generation family-owned business in New Jersey with union labor, right? And Harvard Business School says that we don't even exist, or at least we shouldn't. So this is something, right? This is something that, yes, when you look at it that way, how did we do it? We stuck to what we were good at and we maintained the authority. So then people know when they're coming to GEMCO One, they're getting quality that's going to last a lifetime. And then they're getting the engineering expertise to maintain or even embrace even better optimization for their process. And that's what everyone wants. They want an equipment where their process is going to become more optimized. They don't care about the equipment. They care about what the equipment does for them. And that's what we provide. That's
That's
what
awesome.
we provide.
And I love the discipline, because it takes discipline to stay in your lane. It takes, and a company that I'm thinking of with a very similar go-to-market model, went from they started, I think when we first involved, they were like 13 million, they're beyond 50. But there was a period of time where they kind of had a dip. And I remember asking them, what happened, in that dip, because you've been up, except for these couple of years. He said, well, we went through a phase where we lacked the common sense to say no. And when we got that discipline back, things moved in the right direction. But there was a period of time where we said yes to a lot of things and we should have been saying no.
And it has served us extremely well, but I have to say, sometimes it's always, a shiny, something shiny. It takes your eye off the ball and you're like, oh wow, we could do that, we could do that. And we probably could. And we probably could do it well. But what we do best is we design and manufacture tumble mixers and vacuum tumble dryers. So that's where we like to stay.
And that's definitely some bedtime stories that stuck.
Yes,
Speaking
exactly.
of, is there a fifth generation that's hearing some bedtime stories now?
There is, and they actually like to come in every once in a while because they get to take off school then. I have two sons, Luke and Robbie. And Luke is 10 now, and Robbie is 9, and they're boy boys for sure. They love their sports and everything else. And when they come in, the best thing that they absolutely love, they make a couple of videos for us. But the best thing that they absolutely love is hanging on the crane. They hang on the crane, and then we lift them up like 6 inches off the ground. They think that's like the best thing in the world. How long can they stay? How long can they stay on the crane? So. Either that or they're hiding in the packing peanuts
Ah,
and
that's
playing back there in the packing peanuts.
That's funny. That's
yeah.
great. Well,
And we have a joke always with generational and passing, please, please God, don't let me be the generation to screw it up, right?
I think we all carry a little bit of that mantle, irrespective of what generation, but it probably feels a little heavier in the fourth than to someone like myself in the second.
Yes.
But I think we all feel a little bit of
Hard
that.
all around. Hard all around.
So when you look out for the next, say, 5 years or maybe even further, depending on how far out your vista is, Casey, what does the next iteration of GEMCO look like? And what has to change for you to get there?
Everything is about technology nowadays. So what we work on with clients is in vacuum tumble drying and in mixing, they always want to know, when am I blended? Now, you can't see into a stainless steel shell. It's not like your oven where you're cooking a turkey and you open it up, or the little timer goes up, or the temperature probe says I'm done, right? So we don't have that luxury. Now we have temperatures, pressures, we have sensors, humidity sensors all over the unit and monitoring different things. And I think what's going to happen is when we start getting into more artificial intelligence and more giving information of hey, here's the drying curve that you're going to see for particular products, and we start building data reservoirs of those, we're going to see really awesome things happening where customers are going to start getting the answer to that. So we can give them that picture, but when we get it on a curve or pinpoint it exactly, or we've seen the we can actually see vapor temperature drop and we know, okay, it's hit its drying, we're done now, we're this. It's going to blast that out of the water. And that's what customers want. They want to know, they want to optimize their process. They want to shrink down the cycle time. And I think that's where it's going to go. And in addition, we have some incredible, incredible options and components. One in particular being the agitator. And this revolutionizes how people blend. We are completely changing over the nutraceutical world, the pharmaceutical world with what we're doing. A lot of legacy and history of how production plants were run and what type of equipment was put in, has been in place. And a lot of people are looking to, okay, now innovate me. And GEMCO has that without even changing your capacity. So with doing it with less capacity, not even like extra CapEx or you need this or something, with your exact capacity, we can show you how to eliminate triturations, which are premixes, and you don't even have to do those in GEMCO equipment, which was historically thought of course you do. But we are finding answers every day. We use APS all the time to run tests, not even for GEMCO customers or potential new customers, but for ourselves. So we can start to see how powder is going to behave, what we can do better. And I think those two things, the technology as well as the agitator and what it can do and what we've seen it to do, is totally going to re revolutionize the industry going forward. So we're just going to be promoting, 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 and getting that out there and hoping that people come and test so we can shorten their lead time, shorten their assay costs, reduce their labor, improve their capacity. It's gonna be life-changing for them.
That's awesome. And I, you know, you brought another great point about APS that I hadn't fully considered until the end. It's also something of an innovation center for you, for GEMCO. And
Definitely.
that's
Me, you.
another light of
It is. Anytime that GEMCO comes out with a new innovation, what we like to call retrofits, we try never to do planned obsolescence. So you think about your iPhone, and then all of a sudden, oh, wait a minute, now I switched to a different iPhone model. Now I need all new cords, all new power outlet plugs, and whatnot. And you're like, and all new cases. And you're like, how come I can't just use the same case? It's fine. So you need all that, and that's all planned obsolescence. So I have to say, absolutely brilliant. As far as the marketing and the revenue and things like that, but GEMCO doesn't do that. We have equipment lined up that my great grandfather sold next to where my grandfather sold next to what my father sold, and these p three pieces of equipment running side by side still today, running, running, running. So that's pretty incredible. That's legacy in itself. And one of the things that we do is we constantly retrofit our equipment. So when someone does have something old in the field, it's not planned obsolescence. It's how can I retrofit you to get you up to 2026 standards? And that's what we try to do. And over in APS, that's the first place we test. We don't put these retrofits on a brand new client. We put them on ourselves first. And then once we've worked out the kinks, we found out how the operator is going to use it, how the operator is going to not use it, how they're going to break it, how they're going to install it, what does it look like for the mechanics. And we've identified all the end users. Then we go out and we promote and we market.
And for our listeners, just in order of scale and magnitude, a GEMCO piece of equipment is not something you can throw in the trunk of your car. These are fairly large,
Correct.
fairly sophisticated pieces of equipment that, most certainly a buyer is going to want to extend the life cycle of that equipment's use for a good
Absolutely.
long while. Yeah, so
Absolutely.
helping them do that, I'm sure, is also another strategic advantage in knowing that, for now 4 generations and 110 years, you've been standing by them, and you'll continue to stand by them, and that's another vote of assurance, I would say, probably for a GEMCO piece of equipment.
Absolutely.
Last question, Casey. If any of our listeners wanted to connect to learn more about you and your story, or about GEMCO or APS, what's the best way for them to connect?
Sure, absolutely. You can reach out right onto our website at www.okgemco.com or www.advancedpowderssolutions.com. And you can always reach us there. There's forms there. There's our phone number. You can also call us at 1-800-OK-GEMCO. And we'd love to have a conversation.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, family businesses often talk about legacy, but what's really highlighted in your story, Casey, is something a little deeper. It's not just what you inherit, it's what you learn, it's what you challenge, it's what you build on to make the business stronger and faster and better. And I think the combination of GEMCO and APS is a great example of how proximity to the customer can drive smarter innovation and longer term relevance. Casey, thank you so much for sharing your story and your perspective today. Again, we've been speaking with Casey Bickert, President and CEO of GEMCO and Advanced Powder Solutions. And I'm your host, Ed D'Elia. And this has been another episode of Growing Up B2B. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time. Casey, thank you so much for being with us
Thank
today.
you for having me.
Hey, thanks so much for tuning into Growing Up B2B. To explore more episodes and insights, visit podcast.delianet.com. And if you've enjoyed this episode, please give us a rating or review on your podcast platform of choice. Having worked with hundreds of family-led businesses across my career, and being a second-generation leader myself, I'm on a mission to help every family business I meet achieve next-level growth for their organization. So feel free also to connect with me on LinkedIn and let's support each other. You can also find out more about my company at DeliaNet.com. Again, I'm your host, Ed D'Elia, and thanks so much for joining us today. Take care.